morning. Welcome to our Sunday School Hour. I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 197, Singing I Go Along Life's Road. Hymn number 197. Stand as we sing this morning. This morning, Brother Tom Kaler, would you pray for us, please?
Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house today. We look forward to serving your Holy Spirit and for your Holy Spirit in each of our hearts. May we seek you today. May we hear your word and obey it. Bless our time. In his name.
And thank you. May be seated. Unless you celebrate a birthday and anniversary, we'd like to recognize you at this time. Right over here. All right. Let's. Happy birthday to Macy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
So Macy is 16 today. How exciting is that? So we have outreach scheduled on May the 4th at 9 o'clock. Teens will be cleaning church following that, so please bring your lunch money. We have a guest speaker that Sunday going to Guyana, South Africa, Brother Yankin, and we're excited about having them. Patch Pirate is going to be that afternoon. YouthCon's coming up, and we'd like to be able to get our teens registered early, and so that money's due on May the 8th. If you have any questions, you want to see Brother Lalo about that. Mother's Day banquet's coming up on May 11th. We'll have more information here about that shortly. Mother's Day, of course, is May 12th. Encourage you to plan to celebrate that day with us, and then we head to camp on June the 2nd. And camp is kind of explained there. You have any big questions, Brother Lalo's the guy to talk to. The kids are selling coffee again this year. And so it's $12 for non-ground, $12.50 for ground. And it helps support the kids. And so if you get hit up about that, that's what that's all about. All right? It's good to be able to be in the Lord's house today and to have each one be here with us. We're looking forward to what God has for us today. I'm going to have Brother Foster come back, lead us in another song, and then we'll get to our Sunday school hour. Lord bless you.
Good stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 4, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Sing the first and the last verses of hymn number 4.
I am a stranger, my way of the cross.
Praise the Lord. Our ladies did go to a ladies' conference this weekend, and we would like to give you Wednesday night to give testimonies about that. So, ladies, if you would be considering testimony of what happened at the conference that you would like to share that was a blessing to you, we'd love to hear about that on Wednesday evening. It's good to have my good friend, Brother Wagner, with us. Brother Greg has been on the road singing and evangelism for a number of years. He really became the bona fide deal when he was able to bring his wife on the road. And it was a lot easier to, you know, tolerate having him around. But actually, I was sharing with someone just recently that Brother Wagner and I have been friends since I was probably about 24 years old, I think it was. We met, and it was one of those kind of instant friendship type things. And so I've grown to appreciate their ministry through the years. He pastored in Texas for a while, and we won't hold that against him. But now he's out evangelizing and singing and serving the Lord that way. And at some time today, Miss Sandy's going to do a couple of readings for us. And so I know that'll be a blessing also. Brother Wagner, why don't you come? I don't know which one of these microphones he's going to talk out of, but he's got two of them, so they ought to get him, right?
It's always fun to be around friends, right? Come on now, isn't that more friends? Isn't that more fun to be than to be around enemies? Okay, I just want to make sure. It's exciting. This June, we will have, we are already in our 14th year of traveling and full-time, and we're just very thankful. Sandy did continue to teach for a couple of years, and then the third year we were out, she was able to start traveling with me on the road, and I have to agree, that was when things became a lot better. It was not fun to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks and then come back home. Good thing we had cell phones or our phone bill would have been really high. But it is a real honor. It's exciting to be able to go back to churches and whether yearly or every other year and that, and get to see how God is working. And we're excited about what God's doing at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. And we're excited to meet new folks and see, I don't like to call them old friends because I resemble that too much. And so it's always good to see friends and spend time. And so we are glad to be with you. Take your hymnals, if you would. I'm just going to have you join me on the chorus on this one, if that's okay. Number 65, Just Over in the Glory Land. Isn't that a fun song? I love it. I really do. And so I'm liking songs that... I like songs that talk about heaven. I'm looking forward to being there. And I was sharing with somebody this morning, I'm really getting jealous because so many of my friends are going ahead of me. And I could stand here and name names of friends in the ministry that are already in heaven. And I'm just a little jealous. And so I'm ready to go meet them. Now, I'm not going to let my wife make sure that happens real quick, but anyway. So, if it's all right, I'll sing the verses, and then y'all just jump in on the chorus, okay? That way you don't wear out your throats, okay? I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Here we go. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land.
God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land.
Here we go.
Just over in the glory land of joy, the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host thou stand, just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land, and with kindred saved there forever be, just over in the glory land. Here we go. Just over in the glory land of joy, the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, with the mighty host I stand, just over in the glory land. With the blood-washed throng I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Here we go. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land.
Ooh, that sounded good. Sorry, I got a little out of tune there. You sounded really good. I enjoy that. And thank you. That helps save my throat a little bit. All right? One of my most favorite trail songs is Ghost Riders in the Sky. No, I'm not going to sing that this morning. But I sang it one time for my preacher because he asked me to at a preacher's meeting in Illinois. And then my preacher tried to get me scheduled with one of those preachers, and he says, no way, that man believes in ghosts. I said, where did he get that at? He said, because you sang Ghost Riders in the Sky. I said, that man doesn't even understand that song. But Tracy Dart wrote a song that's a parody of that, and as a preacher, and most pastors I know really like it, because it's called Ghost Members. This is it. I gotta share one that's fun, okay? Preacher went out riding one Sunday afternoon in search of straying members, and he found them all too soon. For all at once he found a bunch of members, don't you know, crowded in the shopping mall and at the picture show. Oh my, oh me, oh me, oh my. Ghost members on the sly. He found some at the rodeo and at the football game. Some promised they would be in church, but stayed home just the same. The same bunch missed last Sunday night and Wednesday too, you see, to watch the miniseries that was showing on TV. Oh my, oh me, oh me, oh my. Now this this next verse when I was pastoring would have been my favorite verse. When Christians live like worldly folks, they just don't understand. Without the church's training, they can't face the devil's ban. So better get to church, my friend, or with them you will ride. And God will let the devil take the tithe out of your hide. Oh my, oh me. Oh me, oh my. Those members on the slide. Those members on the slide. Y'all didn't look so friendly during that one. Oh, goodness. Well, God is so good to give us good friends. We should never take our friends for granted. Brother Johnny Flanagan, I met him in 1974. And Brother Johnny, I first heard this song probably about 1979, but some of the first songs I heard him sing were One More Night with the Frogs, At the Top of the Hill, The Camel of Grace, and if you never met Brother Johnny, you missed a real blessing, and he wrote over 600 gospel songs, and I haven't recorded this one yet. But we're planning on putting it on the next album. It asks a question, and I think it's a question that needs to be asked to each one of us. It's just, the title of it is Ask the World If I'm a Christian. All right, listen if you would. Ask the world if I'm a Christian, don't ask me. Ask the world if they can see Christ living within me. I can tell you that I'm saved, have hope beyond the grave. But ask the world if I'm a Christian, don't ask me. Long time ago in the town of Antioch, the believers were made fun of and they were mocked. They called them Christians to condemn, for they walked a lot like him, Jesus Christ, who is the very Son of God. Ask the world if I'm a Christian, don't ask me. Ask the world if they can see Christ living within me. I can tell you that I'm saved, have hope beyond the grave. But ask the world if I'm a Christian, don't ask me. Can the world see Christ in you today, my friend? Can they tell you've been with Jesus and he lives within? If you're saved, that's well and good, but are you walking as you should? Can the world call you a Christian now as then? Ask the world if I'm a Christian, don't ask me. Ask the world if they can see Christ living within me. I can tell you that I'm saved, have hope beyond the grave. But ask the world if I'm a Christian, don't ask me.
Ask the world if I'm a Christian. Don't ask me.
It's a powerful song, isn't it? And I think it's what we need to do. We need to ask ourselves those questions. Let's see. I'm going to do a couple more, and I'm going to have Sandy come and do a reading. I don't usually push things on the table, but she has another new book coming out. It arrives at our home tomorrow. And tomorrow. And it is the new book is called Wandering While Wondering. Or maybe it's Wondering While Wandering. Yeah, I got it backwards. Wondering While Wandering. It is a book full of 12 of her readings. And a couple of them she's going to do today, they'll be in that book. And so, anyway, what else did you want me to say, hon? I know you gave me $10 to do that, but no. Sorry, I'll pay for that one later on. Let's see. Let me do this in right order here. There's a cowboy out of New Mexico that wrote this song, and used to work for the Bell Ranch south of Tucumcari. And anyway, loves the Lord. And so you listen. It's just called In the Shadow of the Cross. In the shadow of the cross, I have finally found some peace. As I journey up this rocky road of life, it offers shelter and relief. Through the mountains and the valleys, it marks the way so I'm not lost. As I travel up this steep and narrow trail in the shadow of the cross, in the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. God, help me to remember that precious blood that stained the tree. God, grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, oh, the healing power there, freedom from the pain that life may bring, there's only comfort and care. For a bright and mighty was there, he paid the cost with the best that the master had to give in the shadow of the cross. In the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. God, help me to remember that precious blood that stained the tree. God, grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, it was all done I'm so glad that God loves us and that he gave his life on the cross for us. You know, there's an old song that comes from back in the 70s, and so some of you young ones probably haven't heard it. But it just has such a great message. I know that you're concerned like I'm concerned about what's going on in the world. But our peace is this: God knows all about it, and God has a plan. I know sometimes like you, well, I should say, maybe sometimes you're like me, I start looking at all that stuff, and preacher, I get afraid. My first thought is, okay, I need to go buy a truckload of ammo for my AR. And then the Lord just says, you know, like sometimes it's just like he taps you on the shoulder and says, excuse me, son. Don't you think I can take care of it? You're right, Lord. You're right. I'll just go buy a half a load of ammo. But we look at things and we get so concerned. And I think we ought to be concerned enough to pray about it and certainly to share the gospel with people. We don't have to be afraid because God's in control. And so this song is just a great song. It's been around for a long time. And, you know, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31, it says this: are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for ye are of more value than many sparrows. I'm glad we've got a Father that cares. The eyes of God are upon me. He sees everything I do. The arms of God are around me. They keep me safe and secure. And he knows where I am every hour of every day. He knows each thought I think. He knows each word that I might say. And although there were times I've been out of his will, I've never been out of his care. This changing world, it alarms me. With war, with sin, and with strife, but my loving Father, he charms me with joy, with peace, and with life. And he knows where I am every hour of every day. He knows each thought I think. He knows each word that I might say. And although there were times I've been out of his will, I've never been out of his care. to ask Sandy to come at this time and do one of her readings, and then Pastor, after she's done, we'll just turn it over to you.
A new one. I've not done it anywhere before, so listen carefully, I guess. It's called Sweet Baby's Breath. The marketplace was busy, as it always was early in the morning. People were fresh and ready to face a new day, and the place was buzzing. Women were buying what food they needed for the day's meals. People were talking, laughing, and haggling over prices, seeking the best bargain that they could get. Elizabeth smiled. As far as food needs, she had not many. Her desire was to see the people at the market. Her heart melted within as she gazed at groups of young mothers with babies. Laughter bubbled up inside as she watched those with toddlers clinging to their mother's skirts. She caught the eye of a little boy and engaged him in a game of peekaboo. This was why she came to the market each day. She inched closer. It helped soothe the ache of her heart. Oh, she knew she was way too old to have a baby. Time had been cruel to her as month after month had passed, dashing her hopes of a babe. The years had wrapped her up, her yearnings into a package labeled barren. She swallowed as she watched the young mother, Hadar, put the tired hand on her back to stretch while she clutched a wiggling bundle of baby with her other arm. A toddler latched to her leg and begged to be held. "No, Jeremiah, my hands are full. You must be a big boy. You have to be my helper now." His bottom lip flopped out, dropping a rebellious, "No, no helper." His mother thumped him on the head. Jeremiah dropped to the ground and squalled. His mother blew her hair away from her forehead. Her shoulders sagged with exhaustion. Elizabeth stepped in to rescue her. "Hadar, I would love to help. I could hold the little one, or I could take Jeremiah if he would let me. Then you would be free to finish your shopping." Hadar dropped her eyes. "I am so tired, Elizabeth. And Jeremiah's cranky today. He has just gotten somewhat used to his little brother. And now," she patted her belly, "he's going to have another. He does not understand why I have no time for him." Love in her eyes poured over the sun, plopped at her feet, bawling and twisting her skirts. Elizabeth smiled. "Then if I held the little one, you and Jeremiah could have a pinch of time together. Maybe that would comfort him." "I do not." She hesitated. "It would help, I am sure. Would you mind? With one little boy, it would not take me nearly as long to make my purchases. And this one," she smiled into the baby's face, "he is so close to sleep. Are you sure you wouldn't mind?" Hadar's eyes glimmered with hope. "Hadar, I do not mind at all. I would cherish the time holding Samuel. That is his name, isn't it?" Elizabeth glowed. Hadar nodded and whispered, "Thank you so much, Elizabeth. I promise I will hurry." Elizabeth smiled. "Oh, there's no need to hurry, Hadar. I will love every minute with your little one." They found a bench beneath the shade of a fig tree, and Elizabeth reminded the young mother to take all the time she needed. Then she settled to coo and sing softly to baby Samuel. Gently, Elizabeth rocked, and she felt her heart settle into a rhythm with the little babe. Oh, she closed her eyes and leaned in closer to the baby. "What beautiful music we make together," she whispered. Her heart yearned that Abba had never blessed her with a baby, but holding this precious little one eased her longing. She smiled as the baby sunk deeply into sleep and a tiny snore lifted through the air. His breath brushed her cheek, toying with the rain of a teardrop that had escaped her eye. a sweet baby's breath. I do not think any aroma smells so delicious. Elizabeth closed her eyes. She needed to talk to Abba. She must ask forgiveness because she so coveted a baby, and she must not let her heart grow bitter toward Abba. It was then the group of young mothers walked by and paused. Do you see that? Hadar has let Elizabeth watch her little one again. Elizabeth sighed. That had to be Ada's voice. Oh, I see very well, and look, she has dozed off holding Hadar's baby. That is not responsible. But then Elizabeth does not know how to be a mother. She's never had a baby of her own. Elizabeth froze. Her eyes peaked but a little. She recognized the young woman. It was Priscilla. If you ask me, it's a good thing Abba did not bless her. Just think what could have happened to a child of hers. One mother, Martha, came to Elizabeth's defense. Well, maybe when she was young, she would not have fallen to sleep holding a little one. Besides, her voice was gentle. I have fallen asleep rocking my children many times. But not in the marketplace. I think Abba knows who can be trusted with children and who had best not have any. The mama Priscilla shifted her gaze, searching for her own children. Her lips thinned as she spotted them. Abigail, Amos, both of you, get back here right now. You know you are to stay close to me. Wait until your father finds out. The two children giggled and ran on. Priscilla turned and pointed to Elizabeth. I tell you, Abba did not trust her with children, and neither would I. Elizabeth's heart shattered as bile rose up in her throat. Still, she pretended to be asleep as she held tightly to the precious life in her arms. She shut her lips tightly. The things that raced through her mind were things she would regret saying if she birthed them with life. Priscilla, you are wrong, Martha whispered. Elizabeth is a godly woman. Godly? Really? Well, do you know what else I notice about your godly woman, Elizabeth? Priscilla paused, waiting for the invitation to continue. All eyes were on Priscilla. Well, tell us, Ada begged. I noticed Elizabeth standing sideways. She raised her eyebrows. And do you know what I saw? How could we know what you saw, Priscilla? You may as well tell us. Martha's voice was held disgust. Priscilla tipped her head. Elizabeth looks to be with child. Martha narrowed her eyes. Priscilla, that cannot be, and you know it. Elizabeth is far past the age of bearing children. Priscilla's thin lips pressed together as she cleared her throat. I know that. I think she's pretending to be with child. Maybe she's wrapped padding about her so she'll look the part of a mother to be. Or maybe, Priscilla, she has put on a few extra pounds. Sometimes that happens when you get older. Martha stood up for the gentle, godly woman that they all knew and had been taught to respect. And Priscilla, maybe you had better check on the children Abba placed in your care. I think they're about three booths down and arguing with the butcher, and I see he has his knife raised in the air. Priscilla gasped. She turned and yelled, Abigail and Amos, I told you to stay close to me. Martha smiled as Priscilla stomped toward her children. Then she whispered to the other young mother beside her, I am so glad Elizabeth was asleep. I would have hated for her to hear the things Priscilla accused her of. The two turned and tiptoed away so as to not disturb Elizabeth and the sleeping baby she held. Elizabeth shook. How could Priscilla think those things of her? She herself did not know why Abba had chosen the path she trod, but it was Abba's path for her. She knew it was not because Abba felt she was unworthy or that Abba did not love her. Abba was Jehovah God, her heavenly father. He loved her, and she had no doubt about it. Yet as soon as Hadar claimed her little one, Elizabeth treaded a silent path home, vowing not to come to the market again when young mothers were shopping. She wished she could share her heavy heart with Zacharias, but since he had returned from his service at the temple, he could not talk. He had been sweet and he had been kind. He had drawn pictures in the dirt, looked to the sky, and danced about as if he were the happiest of men. Others said he had had a vision which had left him dumb, and some said Jehovah God had judged him. Elizabeth frowned. What would Jehovah God judge him for? Elizabeth stepped into her house. She shut the door to the outside world and leaned against it. She vowed she would not go out again. She would stay behind the safety of closed doors of their home. She looked down. Her hands dropped to rest on her belly. Like lightning, shivers shot through her body. So, someone had noticed and thought she was with child. She had thought it herself. How far along, she could not know. The way of women had passed her years ago, and it was not until her belly gained in size and shaped as a babe that the nagging thought hounded her constantly. Was she with child? Hope pounded her with a rapid heartbeat. Was this what the picture Zacharias had drawn in the dirt meant? She had thought her husband was saying she was growing bigger and needed to lose weight. But possibly, he could have been drawing her as if she were with child. She gasped. Maybe that was why he had danced with joy. She caressed her hands in warm circles about her belly and tingled with joy. Laughter exploded. A baby? A baby after all these years of disappointment? Elizabeth looked up and whispered in praise. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. She could not wait to go to the market with her own baby cuddled in her arms. She most certainly would want to smile and maybe even wink at that young mother, Priscilla. Elizabeth felt young, and happiness swept her into a dancing flurry about the room. Jehovah God loved and cared for her. Zacharias would be so elated. This baby would change their whole life. She stopped and put her hands to her cheeks. They were warm, and she knew they glowed with the promise of motherhood. She would fix Zacharias's favorite meal tonight. Then she would share the miracle that Abba had graced them with. She grabbed sticks for the fire, mixed bread and seared meat. Time flew. Zacharias came home, and the night was wonderful. She would remember it. The Lord God Jehovah had blessed them beyond measure. But as time passed, a nagging fear chiseled through her joy. She gently stroked her growing womb. She paused and held her breath. Growing? Was she growing, but was the baby growing? What if she was getting bigger? What if there was no baby? Her heart pounded in her ears as fear exploded. Her hands dropped to her side. 5, maybe close to 6 months had passed and she had felt no movement. Surely she should be feeling movement. She thumped her belly. She had massaged and pushed the babe about. There was not even a shudder of motion. Nothing wavered. What if Jehovah God had blessed her, but the babe was to be stillborn? Slowly, Elizabeth collapsed in her kitchen floor. Her hands cradled her womb. She edged to the edge and slipped from the seat to the floor. On her knees, with the chair for her altar, she knelt and prayed. No one could understand her. But Jehovah God, because her words were floods of tears as she sobbed, her heart split into a million pieces. In desperation, she whispered, "Please, Abba, please, breathe your breath of life into this sweet babe you trusted me to carry. Please, Abba, Do not let me labor to bring forth a babe who has tasted death, never having tasted life. A rap on her door crashed through the intimacy of her precious time with the Lord. Elizabeth sighed. Someone was knocking on her door? No one ever came to visit her anymore. She was at the door. Could she get up? She was on the floor. Could she get up? She was old, and she was heavy with child. Whoever it was pounded on the door with impatience. I will be there. Give me a minute, Elizabeth called. She grabbed the chair with one hand and the edge of the table with the other. It took all of her strength, but she pulled herself to a stand. She whisked her apron across her face to wipe the tears she had shed. Then she put a hand to her back and stretched. She smiled as she remembered Hadar doing the same at the marketplace month ago. Now she knew why. This baby had taken toll on her body. Slowly she walked to the door, opened it wide. Gasp! Mary! Mary, what are you doing here? Elizabeth. That was all Mary said, and it was all but a whisper. Yet it was the best thing Elizabeth had ever heard. Her babe, who she had never felt, not only moved, but leaped in her womb. Elizabeth laughed, and Elizabeth cried. Elizabeth praised Jehovah, her Lord and God. He had heard and answered her prayer. She grabbed Mary and pulled her into a robust hug. Mary, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Elizabeth looked to the Lord God above. Oh, Jehovah God, thank you. Then she patted her tummy, and that babe kicked so hard her hand bolted through the air with mighty strength. Life, Elizabeth laughed. Jehovah has answered my prayer. My babe has not only tasted life, but he dances with it.